Cooks wide to the right, first and goal. It's Lewis going outside, and he is close. They say touchdown.
It was a touchdown, the Patriots' first of the game, and Deion Lewis's first of two on the day. Lewis's scores would be all the Patriots needed as they beat the Jets in Foxborough on Sunday 26-6, sealing the number one seed and home field advantage in the AFC playoffs. Happy New Year, everybody. I'm Chris Gasper, and this is Season Ticket for January 1st, 2018. To help me break down where the Patriots stand as they pursue their sixth Super Bowl title, Boston Globe sports columnist Tara Sullivan now joins us via the phone. Tara, Happy New Year.
Thank you, Chris. Happy New Year to you and to all our listeners as well.
Yeah, the New Year's off to a good start, certainly, with the Patriots being the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. This is the seventh time they've accomplished that since 2003. And when you look at the previous six times, five of those times they ended up going to the Super Bowl. I would think right now they have to be the favorite to come out of the AFC and go to the Super Bowl.
Well, certainly. I mean, that's what you get, right, with the number one seed. I would agree with you. I think given their history alone, they have to be considered the favorites.
One of the areas, when you look at the Patriots, where their season could potentially be derailed here in the playoffs, and we'll break down some of the potential opponents coming up here on Season Ticket, but one of those areas, I think, would be on defense, the pass rush. When you look at the team, when they got off to that 2-2 start through the first four games, they had issues defending the pass. There was miscommunication and confusion in the back end of the secondary, but also they weren't putting enough pressure on the passer. They tried to rectify that a little bit by bringing in veteran James Harrison, a Pittsburgh Steelers legend turned Pittsburgh Steelers cast off. He made his Patriots debut on Sunday, Tara, and he certainly made an impact. You can ask Robbie Anderson, the wide receiver for the Jets, about that. Harrison's first tackle, he almost put Anderson through the Gillette Stadium turf.
And he completes it. Anderson brought down right away by James Harrison.
What did you think of Harrison's debut?
You think he was a little fired up to get on the field yesterday? So many times, you know, he'd been a healthy scratch in Pittsburgh, and yesterday we saw him get as many, more than half the snaps, you know, that he'd had all season in Pittsburgh. So clearly he was fired up to get on the field, and I think to show that he still has something left in the tank, and he does. I mean, those last two plays, you know, he had back-to-back sacks, and I think just for him, as a veteran who'd accomplished so much but was under this new circumstance coming into a new team, it was probably pretty important for him just to make an impact in the game. But on the flip side, you could also say, geez, how thin must the Patriots have been, you know, at the edge and rushing the passer for him to be able to drop in after three whole days of practice and get the two sacks. So flip side, you know, two sides to that one. I think he does have some stuff left, but and clearly the Patriots, you know, could find a way to use him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody at the beginning of the year was thinking James Harrison and Eric Lee, who had a safety in yesterday's game, are going to be the guys that are going to contribute to the Patriots outside of Trey Flowers and Dietrich Wise to help provide good defense at the outside linebacker, defensive end spots, and also a pass rush. And as you mentioned, Harrison had those two sacks. Those sacks were a little bit in garbage time, so I'm going to caution people to sort of do the old Roosevelt Colvin, former Patriot, calm down. But he did look pretty good for a 39-year-old, and as you mentioned, he played 27 snaps. He had only played 40 snaps all season with the Steelers, so a good start for James Harrison. On the other side of the ball, I wanted to talk about an unsung hero, and I thought that was Deion Lewis, Tara. This was a tough game for the Patriots in terms of they needed to win this one. You don't know what's going to happen in Pittsburgh, even though Mike Tomlin rested the starters against the Cleveland Browns, and Pittsburgh ended up winning the game. But Deion Lewis is an important guy, but they didn't have a lot behind him. Rex Burkhead was out injured, James White out injured. You're looking at Mike Gillisley also being out injured. So Deion Lewis really had to carry the mail yesterday, and he did, a career-high 32 touches, and that was coming off a week before where he had 31 touches. At the beginning of the year, I'm not sure they thought that Deion Lewis could be this type of bell cow back, but he certainly has emerged in that role.
Well, I think you could probably look at the second half of the season and call him kind of the unsung hero almost for the entire second half. He has stepped up, and that's something the Patriots are going to need, you know, given the injuries that they've dealt with this year, especially going into the playoffs, somebody, other guys to step up. And I thought he did that yesterday. And, you know, from my vantage point, especially having seen the Jets and sort of their foibles and things over the years and coming from New York, it's easy to sort of dismiss them as the opponent and maybe not look at everything the Patriots accomplished. But when it comes to gaining rushing yards against the Jets front seven, I think that's something you do give a lot of credit for. That is where the Jets' best talent lies. And I thought Lewis was impressive yesterday. His ability to create, even sometimes when he hit that first wall, you know, to jump step, to dance around a little, to make some things happen. So I would agree with you. One of the absolute kind of bright spots to come out of specifically of this Jets game for the Patriots heading into the playoffs.
I think we all consider Pittsburgh to be the primary challenger in the AFC with Ben Roethlisberger. We're assuming that Antonio Brown, who got hurt in the game between the Patriots and the Steelers on December 17th, which ended up basically deciding home field, we assume he'll be back if these teams were to meet in the AFC title game. And Joe Hayden didn't play when the teams met on December 17th. They are the chief competition when you look at it. But I think there's also an element when you look at things with Patriot fans who feel like really the only team that can stop the Patriots in these playoffs would be themselves. And you wrote about some of the Patriots' flaws today in your column in the Globe. What's the biggest area of concern when you look at the Patriots going into the playoffs?
You know, from my vantage point coming in toward the end of the season, it has a little more tenuous feel this year. You know, and I even use the expression, is it a house of cards or is that foundation solid enough? I think the defense stopping the run, I think that's clearly something they have to be stout about heading into the playoffs. You know, even if you do get to the AFC Championship game and it's a Le'Veon Bell. So that would be one area. You know, I do think Brady is certainly the best reason for hope for the Patriots because of his track record and his talent level. But the number of interceptions late in the year, is that something? You know, is he hitting a wall? He's 40 years old. Is he tired at the end of the season? He's had a few different things with the Achilles and the shoulder. So it just feels a little bit tenuous is the word that I felt this year, and I know I've come into the equation a little bit late. It doesn't mean I don't think they're the favorites. I do, and I think a lot of that is based on just the history and their ability to, you know, make the big play late, which is exactly what we saw in Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh helped them out, too, with some crazy bad decisions. So I don't think it's unfair to have a few of those doubts this year.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, I think that's why home field was so important for this team. We mentioned the 2-2 start they had to the year. They are the defending Super Bowl champions. But if I had told people at the beginning of the year, two of your top five players are not going to be available for the playoffs. That's Julian Edelman, who tore his ACL during the preseason, and Dante Hightower, who tore a pectoral muscle back in October against the Falcons. I think a lot of people would think that it was a tenuous attempt to repeat as Super Bowl champions, to become the first team to repeat since the Patriots did it in 2003 and 2004. So I don't think that's an unfair thing. And to go back to what you said about Brady, he did end that streak of five straight games with an interception. He was able to do that on Sunday, but it wasn't the greatest statistical game ever for Brady. Part of that could have been the weather. It was 13 degrees at kickoff. That's the coldest regular season game in Patriots history. It was -2 with the wind chill, but 18 of 37 for 190 yards and two touchdowns is not classic Tom Brady. And when I look at it, Tara, I think part of the issue is the wide receiving core. There just was not a lot of separation there. You don't have Chris Hogan. Malcolm Mitchell was activated this week in terms of being able to practice, but he's not on the 53-man roster yet. He hasn't played all year long. And Brandon Cooks, I think, is not a possession type of receiver. He's had a really good year, and I think he's gotten too much criticism. 65 catches for 1,082 yards and 7 TDs is a really good year, but he's not Julian Edelman. He's not a security blanket. He's not a safety valve type of guy. He's more of a deep threat, and I think that's something they're missing, is that sort of possession-type receiver who can beat man coverage and be a safety valve for Brady outside of Rob Gronkowski.
Right, and I was going to, it's funny how you were even, as you started that conversation, I was thinking of the tenuousness in the games that I've been here in New England to cover, and Miami where they lost and then Pittsburgh where they pulled out the win. And in Miami, I think we saw exact evidence of how tenuous it can be because that's the game Gronkowski was suspended for, and the offense couldn't do anything really without him. So he's the security blanket, and we knew, I think yesterday he wasn't even targeted. I'm sure they were, you know, keeping him healthy. I think he was double-teamed a lot, and I think that opened some things up for Cooks yesterday. I would agree with you on Cooks. It's funny, coming out of yesterday's game, like, I thought he played really well yesterday, and, you know, you still kind of hear some of that criticism because sometimes they miss the connection on the long throws, and that happened a couple times when I was in Miami, but, you know, he's one of the more reliable weapons. But you're right, you can't just have one there, and you need those other guys across the middle, kind of. And without Gronkowski, which I know he's going to be there, but it just shows you that it's a very fragile balance right now to find the outlets. If Lewis steps up the way he does, maybe then other things are better. If Gronkowski is as active as he was in Pittsburgh, maybe other things are better. But if you take one thing out, you know, it's a little fragile.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you look at the Patriots offense, when it's been at its best in the past, it's kind of death by a thousand paper cuts is what I like to call it. It's not necessarily a lot of big plays, but they just keep completion, 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 march down the field. This offense feels a little different. I think they're a little bit more reliant on the big play. After Super Bowl 51 last year against Atlanta, that was something Bill wanted to incorporate more into the offense, was the ability to test teams vertically, not just horizontally, which is normally the Patriots' offense. They've been able to do that, but due to injuries, I think they've lost a little bit of their potency in terms of being a horizontal attacking team, being able to stretch teams out across the width of the field and make them defend that and just put together pass after pass after pass. And that's what they're sort of known for. And we'll see if they can get back to that a little bit in the playoffs with a healthy Chris Hogan and a healthy James White. When we look at the playoffs here, we don't know who the Patriots are going to play. However, we do know when they're going to play. Their first game will be the AFC Divisional Playoff. That's going to be Saturday, January 13th at Gillette Stadium. The kickoff scheduled for 8:15 p.m. They have three possible opponents. The Kansas City Chiefs, everybody remembers them because they beat the Patriots in the season opener. The Tennessee Titans and the Buffalo Bills, who are in the playoffs for the first time since 1999. When you look at that, Tara, out of those three teams, if you're the Patriots, who are you rooting for? Who do you want to see come into Gillette Stadium on January 13th?
Well, I could say the old sports cliche that you never want to beat a team three times in one season, but I still think they'd take the Bills in that equation. I just think that's a familiar, comfortable, we know we can win this game, we've done it before. I don't know what you think. I don't think they'd want any part of the Chiefs, no matter what revenge might be at stake, but, you know, why go back to something that went so bad the last time? So, I mean, I just think there's a lot of familiarity and knowing you can beat the Bills.
Yeah, I think the Bills, when you look at all those teams, the only one who has a quarterback who's even started a playoff game, that's Kansas City. It's Alex Smith. He's 2-4 in the playoffs. But Marcus Mariota for Tennessee, he's never even started a playoff game. The same goes for Tyrod Taylor. So it's hard to imagine those teams coming in to Gillette and winning. And when you look at what's going to happen here in terms of the playoffs, Tennessee and Kansas City, they're going to play on Saturday, January the 6th. So that's the number 4 seed, Kansas City, against the 5 seed of Tennessee. And then on Sunday, you have Buffalo at Jacksonville. Buffalo is the 6th seed, and Jacksonville is the 3rd seed there. So from a Patriots standpoint, you know, if Buffalo wins as the lowest seed here, the 6th seed, then they're definitely coming to Gillette Stadium. But you won't know that until Sunday. That game, Bills-Jaguars, kicks off Sunday, January 7th at 1:05 p.m. So until about 4 o'clock on Sunday, you're not going to know who your opponent is. So it'll be some interesting TV watching, I think, for the Patriots this weekend.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that it's funny, that's kind of where I went at the beginning, talking to some of the guys. I mean, they earned that right. They're going to be parked in front of their TVs this weekend, you know, and watching kind of like the average fans, to a position I guess they're used to. But, yeah, I mean, the odds are slim. I think that Buffalo can win that game in Jacksonville. We'll see. I think the Patriots had to be probably happy, relieved, maybe too strong a word, that the Ravens screwed it up yesterday, because I do think, listen, they've had their issues this year, but that's a team, you know, that has come into Foxborough before and won a game, that has a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl, that wouldn't maybe have had that, you know, the intimidation factor, or that, you know, that some of the other teams with the inexperience might have. So maybe they're happy just in general that the Ravens aren't there. They might have been a dangerous team.
Yeah, no question about that. All right, we're going to take a brief time out here on Season Ticket, but don't go anywhere. When we come back, more with Tara Sullivan as we'll break down the AFC playoff field a little bit more. We'll also look over at the NFC, because if the Patriots make it to the Super Bowl, that's where their opponent will come from. And we're going to have more on the Buffalo Bills and their fans partying like it's 1999. Stay tuned for that. Welcome back. Season Ticket is now available on Spotify. So if you want to listen to us there, here's all you have to do. You just hit search and then hit follow. Of course, you can always subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, subscribing is the best way to make sure you get our latest episode as soon as it's available. All right, back now with Globe Sports columnist Tara Sullivan. As we mentioned before, the Buffalo Bills, they backed into the playoffs, but the folks in Buffalo, they don't care. It's been a long time for them. The last time the Bills made the playoffs, 1999. They got a victory over the Miami Dolphins. That helped them, but they needed a little bit of assistance. They needed the Baltimore Ravens to lose. They had a late lead, and they give up a touchdown pass from Andy Dalton to Tyler Boyd.
Ravens trying to end it here. Fourth down. Dalton steps up. Dalton throws. It's complete. Caught by Boyd. Tyler Boyd. Touchdown. Remarkable. The Cincinnati Bengals have stunned this crowd.
And the Cincinnati Bengals played the spoilers. They win the game 31-27, and the Bills will be dancing in the postseason. When I look at the AFC field outside of the Patriots, there are not a lot of quarterbacks that have sort of playoff cachet. Obviously, the Steelers have Roethlisberger. He's 13-7 in the playoffs. He's won two Super Bowls. But you're looking at some of these other teams. I mean, Alex Smith, as I mentioned, has the two playoff wins, but one of those is with the San Francisco 49ers. Mariota, he's never played. He's only watched the playoffs on TV. Same goes for Blake Bortles. Tyrod Taylor, not only has he never played a playoff game, but his own coach in the middle of the year decided to bench him for rookie Nathan Peterman, and that was the whole reason the Bills needed help, needed the Ravens to lose in the final day of the season to get in. So if you're going to beat the Patriots in the playoffs, I feel like, and you know this, you cover those Giants-Patriots Super Bowls with Eli Manning, you have to have a high-caliber quarterback playing at a high level. I don't see a lot of those quarterbacks in this AFC playoff field outside of Pittsburgh and Roethlisberger. That's a win for the Patriots.
For sure. You know, it's so interesting because you kind of look over the years. Listen, all these guys who've won all the quarterbacks who've won a Super Bowl, you can point to that first run, right? They finally broke through, whether Flacco is one of the rare ones in the AFC. In the NFC, it's been a little bit more wide open, right? Different teams, different opportunities. But I think Brady has just had such a stranglehold, and he's been like the blockade. You know, it's just harder for guys to get past him, to break through, to be as good, to break through and get a chance to get that first Super Bowl. Of course, I mean, it's impossible to even quantify the advantage the Patriots have with him at the position versus everybody but Pittsburgh in the rest of the AFC field, you know. And even in Roethlisberger, I mean, I'm so impressed over the years, especially as it relates to having covered the Giants for all those years when Roethlisberger and Eli Manning were in the same draft class and both have their two Super Bowls. The Steelers have done a much better job of staying consistent. You know, outside of Eli's playoff runs, he didn't even make the playoffs, where at least, you know, Roethlisberger has kept that team at the top of the standings. So to me, I mean, it feels inevitable that we are careening toward this, you know, rematch in the AFC Championship game for so many reasons, including those you just mentioned with the experience or lack thereof at the quarterback position.
And even the Chiefs, and I like the Chiefs a lot. I like Alex Smith. I think he's an underrated quarterback. He had a really good year, threw for more than 4,000 yards. But which Chiefs team is going to show up in the playoffs? Is it going to be the team that beat the Patriots in the season opener and got off to a 5-0 start?
Lost to the Giants.
Yeah, or is it going to be the team that lost 6 out of 7 in the middle of the year? And yes, lost to the Giants 12-9 in overtime on November 19th. Or is it the team that won its last four games of the year? I think Kansas City has the elements, the components to put a scare into the Patriots, to be the 2010 Jets and come to Gillette and spoil the party for the Patriots. But I'm also not confident in terms of which Kansas City team is going to show up if they end up being the opponent for the Patriots on January 13th.
I would agree. You nailed it exactly, because you can look at that first week. But it's funny, and I think there's some talk even in the Patriots locker room, that game did wake them the heck up, you know. So I wonder if they wouldn't almost maybe relish a chance to sort of atone. Wouldn't that be some delicious storyline? You know, I like to see these things in storylines. And if they were able to, you know, get back at the Chiefs for what they did early in the season on their way to getting back to another Super Bowl. But from a pure nuts and bolts standpoint, the good version of the Kansas City Chiefs is definitely a threat.
Yeah, they're definitely a threat. There's no question about it. I mean, they can run the ball with Kareem Hunt, who led the NFL in rushing this season. Smith's better than people think. A pretty good secondary there. You just don't know which team you're going to get. And I think that's why people feel confident that based on this AFC playoff field and potential opponents, the Patriots could advance to a 7th straight AFC title game. I'll tell you what I think is an interesting team, though, that they could meet at some point here. They wouldn't be able to meet them in the divisional round, but the Jaguars. I think if people had more faith in Blake Bortles, you look at the Jaguars and say they have all the elements you need to give the Patriots a game. They have a great pass rush. They have the best cornerback tandem in the NFL. They can run the football. They have dangerous wide receivers that can stretch the field. But Blake Bortles is a huge X factor. I feel like people just don't believe in him, even though he had a good season.
Well, there's no doubt, because, again, it's a show-me league. They're not going to believe until he actually does it, and, you know, to get on a playoff run. And I think people feel like the Jaguars have ridden the strength of the defense and gotten to this point despite, you know, some average play at quarterback. I do think he's gotten better as the season's gone on, and we've seen teams in the past thinking back to when the Ravens even won the first time with Trent Dilfer. You know, we've seen teams be able to sort of work around and just manage through their quarterback to win a Super Bowl. But again, to me, it's all about that, the pass rush. I mean, that's where they can really make the Patriots miserable. And if you think about with Tom Coughlin being, you know, in charge of football operations there, and that his approach, you know, that obviously was with the Giants the two times they beat the Patriots, it's all about getting to the quarterback. That's been his mantra, you know, since coming into the league, and that's what Jacksonville has going. So that's who I even included specifically in my column today, I think, as somebody that the Patriots would have to be wary of.
Yeah, we certainly know that Tom Coughlin has been Bill Belichick kryptonite over the years. Those two Super Bowls, Super Bowl 42 and Super Bowl 46, where the Giants were able to upset the Patriots. Speaking of Bill Belichick, we're going to break one of his cardinal rules here, Tara, because I'm assuming he's going to be okay with it because he's not listening. We are going to look ahead. I'm going to look ahead to the NFC for a little bit. And what's interesting to me about this, again, our good friend Dan Shaughnessy would say everything sort of always comes up Patriots. And when I look at the NFC, I kind of think he's right. Again, with the whole quarterback thing, like you need a really good quarterback to beat the Patriots. The number one seed in the NFC, the Philadelphia Eagles. Their quarterback, Carson Wentz, is out for the year. It's Nick Foles. Nick Foles has one playoff start. He lost. Number two seed, the Minnesota Vikings, trying to become the first team to ever play the Super Bowl in their home stadium. Minnesota hosting Super Bowl 52 this year. Their quarterback, Case Keenum, he's had a great year, but he's sort of a journeyman quarterback. I don't think people believe in him. You look at the other teams in the NFC. There's some legitimate quarterbacks here. You have the Panthers and the Saints meeting in the first round on Sunday, January 7th. Cam Newton, Drew Brees, two quarterbacks that have gone to a Super Bowl, except for one of them is going to get eliminated. So that's going to help the Patriots. And then the other game on Saturday, January 6th, is Falcons-Rams. We all know what the Patriots did last year to the Falcons. I think the Falcons have PTSD from that game, and I give them a lot of credit for recovering to make the playoffs this year, because I really thought when they came into Gillette in October and lost that game, it sort of sent them into a little bit of a tailspin. So we know Matt Ryan is good, but Jared Goff, another guy, great season, no question about it, but he's never played a playoff game. So when you look at it, even the NFC side of things, it seems like it's falling into place for the Patriots.
Oh, definitely. I mean, look at all the great experienced quarterbacks are in the bottom half of that bracket. So of course, yeah, they're going to knock each other down like bowling pins. You know, who's going to be left to make that run? The Eagles, it's just a shame, really, for the entire NFL, because the Wentz story was just so good, you know, and there's a guy who I think was probably going to win the MVP had he not gotten hurt. I think they had a decent situation having Foles. You know, he's probably better than the average backup, but the last couple games he certainly hasn't lit anything on fire, and I think you have to be concerned, you know, about that. And absolutely, I mean, Minnesota's going to be motivated by winning at home, but what has Case Keenum done in the playoffs? Nothing. So, yeah, does it come up Patriots? I don't know. I guess it does. I think at some point maybe somebody breaks through. And like I said, you don't get that first Super Bowl run till you make the first Super Bowl run. But the NFC is, I think, wide open. Fascinating from a fan point of view, just to see, you know, how those games go and who might emerge from the NFC. I think that the wide open nature of that, great for fans, but probably also helpful to the Patriots.
Tara, I want to ask you this, because you come to us from NorthJersey.com, the Bergen Record. You're a Jersey girl through and through, and now you're sort of in enemy territory a little bit. So what's it been like making the jump here to New England and covering the Patriots when you had seen them before, either through the lens of the Jets or the lens of the Giants?
Well, the one thing I'll say is, you know, sports stories are universal. So that part of it, getting inside a locker room, has been great, because football is football, and you know, we could get into logistics about availability, things like that, but overall, it's the same job, and I love that part of it, seeing football up close, you know, and getting in a locker room, meeting new guys, and, you know, it's great to be around teams that are successful, not because as writers, you know, this, we don't root for the outcome, but, you know, good outcomes get good stories, people are interested, readers are interested, that kind of, you know, that element. So that part has been great so far, the reader interaction through theglobe.com, through email. I'm loving it. I think the fan base around here could rival any in the country from my outside impression, and even getting inside, different from the New York, New Jersey fan base, much more personal, I would say, around here. You know, New York, New Jersey, I think people forget sometimes there's just so many teams there, you know, even in football, like, you know, as a writer, you would find divided loyalties in your readers just between Giants and Jets, or between Mets and Yankees, or Knicks and Nets. And, of course, you know, in Boston, it's all for one, one for all kind of deal. There's only one team in each. So, you know, the fans are clearly kind of an us or them kind of deal. And so, yeah, I've heard plenty of, you know, you already hate the Patriots and this and that, which, of course.
No, they say that about me, and I'm from here, so don't worry about that.
Of course, it's not true. But I think the passion of the fan base is fantastic. That part I'm definitely enjoying.
I agree. The passion of the fans, that's what makes this area so special and allows us to do what we do. And I hope you're enjoying it. You're off to a great start. Thanks for joining us here on Season Ticket.
Thank you very much, Chris.
All right, so that's Tara Sullivan, Boston Globe sports columnist. You can find her on Twitter, her handle, @Globe_Tara. That's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell a friend, leave us a review. I'm Chris Gasper. We'll see you tomorrow.